Welcome to episode 95 of the Transformer to Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will understand the phrasal verb to run out of something, know the difference between supplier and provider, understand what it means when you buy in bulk, have a good translation of antojo in your mind, and know what to do when you run out of tea bags. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we are talking about a very interesting word that we partly covered in the past because we have spoken about supply and demand in the past. But today we're going to take a new look at it. We're going to look at it in a different way. And actually we're going to think about it partly related to a story that Alistair is going to tell us about something that is very close to our hearts, or close to at least most English hearts. Alistair is a bit of an exception. So, as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Yes, I'm definitely an exception in this thing that is so close to English people's hearts, but not mine.
That's right.
As we have mentioned before in the podcast.
That's right.
I'm a strange Englishman.
That's right. You're the exception to the rule, just like those grammar forms.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't fit the stereotype talking about the thing we're going to talk about today.
That's right. Exactly. And it's an interesting story. So maybe I should just kind of basically let you go ahead and tell that particular story. And then we can talk about this particular word of, obviously we're talking about supply and demand, but today we're actually just going to be looking at the word supply. But maybe we'll go straight into the story now, Alistair, so that everybody knows exactly what we're talking about, and then we can kind of elaborate on the type of vocabulary and go forward from there, okay?
Yeah, from the story sort of, it produces some vocabulary that's quite interesting, particularly this word supply, because then it occurred to me thinking about this, yes, supply has another meaning. It's not just supply as in oferta in the expression supply and demand. Mm-hmm. So I thought, this could be quite interesting for a topic for our listeners.
Yeah,
so absolutely. The story is, and this is where the supply comes in, shall we say, is we've talked about this before, that I am not a stereotypical Englishman, so I don't like tea. That is the thing we're talking about.
Whereas
you do, and most English people do. And they drink a lot of tea in England. It's quite incredible, in fact. But my wife, as mentioned before on this podcast, is Spanish, and she doesn't quite conform to the Spanish stereotype, as you would expect a coffee drinker for most Spanish people.
Yes.
However, she doesn't particularly like coffee, doesn't really drink it now and again. She's a big English tea, well, not just tea drinker, English tea drinker. Mm. So by visiting England many times, she's become addicted to tea. Mm. She loves tea. And I don't, and this is a slight contradiction. No?
Yes.
Anyway, so she bought a tea from a supermarket, English tea, but she noticed that recently there's no tea in that supermarket. It's not available. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of Brexit, perhaps, we imagine, but we don't know.
Yeah.
And so her supply of tea is running out. Well, there's a phrasal verb, to run out of.
No, that's right.
Quedarse sin, or agotarse.
Yeah.
So her regular supply of tea from a famous Spanish supermarket seems to have run out. There is no tea. The supply has come to an end. And she was getting very nervous because she was getting down to her last few tea bags, because in England they drink tea in tea bags usually.
Yeah.
So she started investigating other supplies, other possible, sources of supply. The fuentes, no?
Yeah.
Of tea. So she looked in, of course, Amazon these days is the first place everyone thinks to look, as they supply almost anything you can think of.
Absolutely.
And yes, you can buy English tea in Amazon. They deliver it at a cost. So, of course, she started investigating, well, what quantity of tea will I need to buy? Because they have all different sizes of your standard tea box, like the one she was buying in the supermarket, is 100 tea bags. Mm. But if you buy that in Amazon, it's expensive. So per tea bag works out more expensive.
Yeah.
When you order it through Amazon because you got the delivery. So she started calculating the cost per bag, per tea bag, to get to the same price or maybe even cheaper. Anyway, in the end, she ordered, and it arrived recently, which is what made me think of this, a huge industrial size container, well, bag of tea bag. I think more than 1,000 tea bags.
That's funny.
That's a lot. So, you know, she has a year's supply of tea.
Or that's tea
bags, because she calculated on an average of 3 cups a day minimum.
Yeah.
1,000 tea bags works out just over a year's supply.
Right.
Of tea bags. So she's quite happy now. She's not anxious anymore. She knows at least for another year she's got her English tea. And then, of course, now she knows she can get it from Amazon. She'll just order another one when it runs out.
Runs out, yeah.
Very when good. It finishes. No, when yeah. you have none left, you run out of tea or run out of anything. Petrol, money, time, patience,
yeah.
milk, you name it, you can run out of it and then you have to buy more. That's a very useful phrasal verb
it
to
is.
Run out of
it's,
something.
It's probably one of the most useful ones, those that it run
is.
Out, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very useful.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. No
so
question.
So that made me think supply. Ah, so supply isn't just this idea of supply and demand. Supply mm-hmm. is... You have someone, in this case Amazon, if you like, or supplying this product, tea bags, to my wife in this case. So I think, so supply is a different meaning. Of course, I think all our listeners will know, and in their work, in their business, I'm sure, they use the word supplier. So mm-hmm. you have suppliers.
Yeah.
Suppliers supply goods and services to a person or to a company. Mm-hmm. And here, supply is nothing to do with oferta. It has different translations in Spanish. And so it was basically from the tea made me think, this is a word we could look at in a bit more detail,
yeah,
which could be quite useful to our listeners. So there Absolutely. You go, a year's supply of tea.
Yeah. Where do you keep that year's supply of tea? That's the first question that comes to
well,
my mind.
Well, it's in this huge bag, which is they put on the bag, what do they say? Sealable zip.
Okay.
And that might be quite complicated for our listeners.
Yeah.
So to seal, sellar, is to close something, yeah. no, to seal.
Yeah.
And resealable means you can open it and then you can close it again. So you yeah. can reseal it, or resellar, yeah. I suppose. And a zip is a cremallera, I think, in Spanish.
Yeah.
A zip,
yeah.
like you have on your trousers. No.
Yeah, or your jacket, that's right.
Or a jacket, yeah, on your coat, on a jacket, a zip, which closes something, no?
Yeah.
So basically this huge bag containing the small tea bags, when you open it and take out your tea bags, you can close it, you can seal it. I think it's airtight is an expression.
Okay. Yeah.
So if it's airtight bag, you can close it, stopping any air going in, which means you can keep the product, in this case tea bags, fresh for,
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully for a year, because... I don't know. We'll see. I mean, this is another problem. Maybe it's such a large quantity that even with its resealable zip, you're opening and closing it, you know, several times to get your tea bags out. Who knows? Maybe at the end of the year, the tea might not taste that great. I don't know how long a tea lasts.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's another word that we wanted to look at.
Yeah,
today.
We wanted to cover that as well. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But how big is it? Yeah, well, that's good. How long?
Well, it's
how long
big, it... but it's not that big.
It's so not huge. It's not like a bin bag. It's like a bin bag or
it's
not?
It's half a bin bag size, maybe. I'm trying
half
to think of
bag.
Something
yeah.
equivalent.
Okay.
The size of a, I don't know, a pillow on your sofa, maybe?
Okay.
Bigger.
Okay. Okay.
It's quite big. So basically, we've got a wardrobe or a cupboard. Armario, and it's basically in there.
Right, okay.
Fits. So it's not that big. So basically what you have to do is take a certain amount out.
Yeah.
Every so often put
of
it
course,
in a
of
container.
Course, of course. Yeah.
That to use every day, and then when it's empty, you refill your container from your huge industrial-sized bag of tea bags with its resealable zip. Now, hopefully the resealable zip will keep the tea bags as fresh as possible for a who knows how long.
Yeah, should be all right.
Hopefully a year.
Hopefully, yeah. You've obviously done a lot of research into this. So there's like,
well,
clearly,
this is the first time, so this is an experiment, so we'll
absolutely.
See how it works. But the important thing is my wife has her supply, a regular supply now, teed, of English tea. Because it, clear, it should go crazy.
Yeah, and clearly the supermarket clearly had a problem with their supply of tea bags, and maybe there was something wrong with the supplier, some sort of a problem, right? So
or
who
knows?
Or the
supply line, or the supply chain. You see, these are other concepts very important in business. So anyone working in a company, particularly in like purchasing department, so to purchase means to buy, comprar.
Yeah, yeah.
In compras, people who work in purchasing, obviously they are buying, purchasing things, supplies of many different things, goods and services for their company.
That's right.
So these are words that people working in that area and in generally in business need to know. So yeah, you have suppliers, you have a supply chain, la cadena, no? So maybe the supply chain between the UK and Spain, possibly because of Brexit, or not, I don't know, has broken down somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is obviously this supermarket is having problems getting the tea from England. Or maybe they just decide, oh, maybe it's become too expensive.
Who knows?
They just decide, I do not know the reasons why. That's right. But you go there now, there is no tea. Mm. Now, maybe it will come back. Maybe it's a temporary problem with supply.
Could be.
The supply chain. And maybe next month you go back to the supermarket. Oh, it's here again. But to be honest, I think now my wife has found that she can buy it as cheap or possibly even cheaper.
Yeah.
Through Amazon. Maybe she should just stick with that in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
She may never go back to buying it from the supermarket in smaller quantities.
Yeah. This actually reminds me of a question that we often get, I think, with the whole idea of proveedor, right? And some people always ask us this question, and they say, how do you translate proveedor? Because, or what's the difference between a supplier and a provider, right?
Yes,
that's the common question, because obviously if you think in your brain, sort of thinking of the Spanish word proveedor, you are automatically more attracted to the whole word of provider rather than supplier, right? But there, and what would you say, Alistair, in that particular case? You know, what advice would you give in terms of saying to that person, well, you know, a provider is for this and a supplier is for this? I suppose we probably go more for supplier in English, really, wouldn't we?
It depends. They mean the same thing. So obviously, what does a supplier do? They provide you with goods and services. They are a provider of the service or the goods.
Yeah.
So, you know, it means the same thing. Mm. We may tend to use one. What I've read, well, this I don't work in the world of business, but what I've sort of heard or read people say on this topic is it's more usual to talk about a provider of services.
Mm.
And more usual to talk about supplier of things, of goods.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's the... I think they're fairly interchangeable, but in English, you'd probably say, you know, like you, Daniel, are a provider. You provide English language training or services or coaching to individuals and to companies. So you might tend to say you're more of a provider.
That's right. Maybe. But there's a reason there. And I think because it kind of, there's a collocation, let's say, between the whole idea of a service provider, right? A service provider.
That is the expression, exactly. Service provider. You wouldn't say service supplier, sounds strange.
That's right.
There you go. So the answer to that question then seems to be service providers. So you would be a provider of English language coaching services, for example.
Exactly.
But if you were supplying a company with, you know, food or
pencils
or
paper.
Well, we talk about office supplies.
Mm. Exactly. So
Yeah, that's a standard phrase in business. No, office supplies.
Yeah.
And there are companies that specializes in providing or supplying office supplies. Now, what are office supplies? The typical things you need every day in an office. Pens, paper, ink cartridges, toner for the photocopier. So all those things you need in an office is office supplies. Now, you wouldn't say provisions. So we have the word provision that comes from to provide.
Mm.
So office provisions doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah, no, that's not
office
quite right.
Office supplies.
Yeah, office supplies, absolutely. Yeah.
But service provider sounds good. So I think what I've read or heard seems to be right when you start thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
The certain collocations, isn't it, between certain things, even though it means the same thing. So your office supply. So you would, you know, have a supplier of pens, photocopier paper for your photocopier, and you buy, you know, a large quantities, obviously, if you're a company. Which leads to another expression that I thought of talking about.
Yes, the team. I was just going to come to that, to be honest. Yes.
Well, I'll let you say it. So what expression would we use when you're not buying one? My wife didn't buy one tea bag.
No.
Be very expensive.
Yeah.
Or not even one small box. She bought a large quantity because it was cheaper or at least the same or cheaper to do it that way.
Absolutely. So what is the and actually, I do have a few friends that like to do exactly what you were talking about, or what your wife has done in this particular case, right? It's to look at the how many quantity you really want, something that you know that you're going to need right through the year, and they do the calculations, calculate the unit price basically, and then say, okay, I'm going to buy this in bulk. Right.
In bulk. Good word.
That's
bulk.
Right.
B-U-L-K, bulk.
Yeah, I'm going to buy this in bulk.
Yeah, because bulk just means a big amount of something, no? Bulk.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's a good word to kind of like. And I suppose if you're working in the purchasing department, that's exactly what
you do. Yeah, you don't buy one pen, do you? Or
no,
ten?
That's
you
right.
buy, I don't know, 2,000 pens. Or
absolutely,
huge amounts of photocopy. You know, 100, no, probably more, 300 packs of photocopying paper.
Yeah,
or thousands. Yeah. And obviously, by doing that, you can negotiate with your supplier
of
photocopying paper or whatever it may be, toner. For the photocopier, pens, pencils, a better price per unit.
That's
so obviously
right.
It's cheaper to buy 2,000 pens per pen, works out cheaper than buying one pen.
Absolutely.
So yeah, people working in business in purchasing departments will be buying in bulk because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
To buy in bulk than buy, you know, individual items.
It's kind of interesting that because, I mean, definitely if you're working for a company in terms of that department of the purchasing department, right, you're always probably going to be buying in bulk. But there are some people, even on an individual basis, like your wife,
or my friends, they love
to buy things in bulk because it just seems, you know, this seems much better value. And I think it's very interesting to sort of get the idea of a different sort of buyer profiles, right? There are some people who love a bargain, right? Some people just love cannot walk past a bargain. There's a shop, there's a shop in England, in my hometown in Bournemouth, which I can't remember the name of, but it's basically one of these shops where that stocks all sorts of kind of designer clothes. And when you go in, you look at the t-shirt or whatever, and it's normally like a very sort of prestigious brand, and normally it's reduced from, I don't know, like £90 to £25, big discounts, and there are those types of people who have those types of buyer profiles, right? They like to either buy in bulk or they like to have a big reduction. They kind of feel as if they're getting value for money, yes, which is all to do with the Spanish idea of relación precio calidad, right? Yeah,
absolutely. You could call them bargain hunters, cazadores de joyas. Bargain hunters. People are always looking for a bargain, whether that's, as you say, buying in large quantities, buying in bulk, so it works out cheaper per item, per unit.
Yeah.
Or just looking for discounted products, no?
In
the sales or whatever it may be, no?
Yeah.
So obviously if you use a lot of something, so if you've got kids particularly, and you know that, you know, they consume a large amount of, I don't know, milk or whatever it may be. Nappies for a baby, for example. Yeah, instead of just buying one bag of nappies that costs X. Well, it's two things, isn't it? A is that it can work out cheaper if you buy in bulk. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But also just the convenience, no?
Of course, absolutely, yeah.
If you have to go to the shop, I know, every 3 times a week to buy nappies, or once a week because you only buy one bag, and then you run out quickly, it's quite inconvenient. It's time consuming.
It is, absolutely.
So if you buy, you know, I don't know, 50 bags of nappies that last you however long that would last a baby, no idea, 6 months, let's say, you only have to go shopping once. No?
That's right.
You don't have to go every week. Now, the problem is, as you asked me before, you need to have the space to store.
Yeah.
So this is a good word, storage.
Yeah.
So if you don't have storage space in your house, so if you live in a small flat, that's difficult to do that.
You probably
have to go shopping more often, buying smaller quantities, because you don't have the storage space to buy in bulk. Because you have a house with a lot of space and a lot of storage space. then yeah, you can maybe make that choice to say, I'll buy, instead of 2 liters of milk, you buy, I don't know, 50 liters of milk, and you store it in your, wherever you have in your house to store stuff.
Yeah.
And you just use it gradually.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you're saving money. I don't know whether you would or not in that case. Whether buying a lot of milk is cheaper, I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Who knows?
But it's certainly more convenient, isn't it?
Absolutely. You
know, going every day to buy a litre of milk.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, I'm
so
happy.
There's two reasons, I suppose, you know, for buying in bulk.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy your wife has now obviously overcome her anxiety of not having access.
Very anxious.
Yeah, worried about her supply of English tea. That's right.
Yeah, very important.
It's funny because, you know, speaking of tea like that, I mean, as you said, I like to drink tea. You don't, but I do like it. I like all types of tea. And the fact that you were talking about it just now kind of gave me antojo. Right. And it's funny because this, and we were talking about this before we started recording, and that word antojo came to my mind more easily than the English word, because I said to you, you know, you're talking about tea all the time. Suddenly I have antojo of tea, you know, I have antojo of tea.
This is interesting, isn't it? How English speakers living here for a long time, or in any person living in another country with a different language, and you live there a long time and you speak that language and you hear it every day, this is what happens.
Yeah.
You start incorporating words from that other language into your own language.
That's
and often
right.
You can't remember the word in your own language, but you remember the other word. So you were speaking in English, not Spanish, and saying, oh, I have an antojo. And you said, how do you say antojo?
Yeah, that's right.
And even I was like, ooh, I can't.
And it took us a while, right?
It took us about a minute to actually think of the word in English.
Yeah.
I was about to actually have to look it up in internet, and then I remembered it, which seems crazy, no? That we're English and we're English teachers, coaches, and we, you know, the certain words that don't come to our mind quickly anymore.
That's right.
In our own language.
That's right. It's a crazy thing. But
it does happen.
It does happen. I mean, actually, to be honest, when I was a kid, I went to a European school, and there was like a whole mixture of languages when we were there, and it was very interesting because that exact process happened all the time, you know. So I would be speaking to somebody like, I don't know, like an Italian person, and I would be speaking in German, and we would have several languages in common, and so and so I knew that he would be able to understand if I said something in French, for example, and so I would say the word in French, and it's kind of like very strange process of what happens when you kind of like mix all these languages together, but that happened to me, because obviously I know that you understand Spanish, so I was like trying to express
Well, it's two reasons. It can either be because the Spanish word, well, the word in the other language is
just better.
Maybe
it's just kind of like defines it better.
Shorter or defines it better. Or maybe in your own language, there isn't even a word for this thing exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's much more convenient and quicker to use the word in the other language because it's a word. Whereas maybe in your own language, you have to explain it in a sentence. That's one reason.
Yeah.
Or the other is just that you just don't remember the word in your own language because, well, you're surrounded by the other language all the time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes certain words come to your mind quicker. No?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go for it.
We had to think. We had to think what it was. I even had to give an example. I said, it's like when a woman is pregnant, they have certain something.
Like certain antojo, no,
where they want to eat strange things or strange combinations of food.
Yeah.
But what is it? And then finally it came to my mind. I went, I've got it. And the word is, Daniel?
Craving. A craving.
Craving. To have a craving or to crave as a verb.
Yeah.
So I think it's C-R-A-V-E, I think, to crave.
Yeah, to crave, that's right. That's correct.
You crave, I don't know, ice cream or whatever you want. You are craving tea.
That's right.
So to crave, or you had a craving, I-N-G. So the gerund form is actually the noun, a craving. So you had suddenly had a craving for tea.
That's
and
right.
A biscuit, probably.
That's right.
Because I was talking about tea.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't, because I don't drink tea.
So. That's right. Good, Alistair, that was a great story and brought in so many different things, you know, so let's quickly go over those. We started off with the whole idea of supply of the tea to the supermarket, right, and that your wife was worried about her supply, right, which was very, very interesting. Then you obviously talked about the fact that she ordered a huge number of tea bags from Amazon and that would last her for almost a year potentially. So that's very interesting as well, that verb to last. She was worried about the tea bags running out, right? Which is also super, super important phrasal verb. Then we also discussed the translation of proveedor, right? Whether it's a provider or a supplier, which is really, really interesting and very important in terms of sort of getting, they are sort of interchangeable, but many people kind of confuse them. And hopefully we've given kind of a very, very clear idea about which one to use in which context. And then we went on to talk about how you actually talk about something that you buy in big quantities. So if you are buying in big quantities, then you actually talk about that as being something you're buying in bulk, B-U-L-K. And finally, just at the right at the end, we talked about my antojo, my sudden antojo, my sudden craving for English tea after having spoken about it for more than an hour.
Well, yeah, now we finish this, you can go away and make a cup of tea. In English, right. It's interesting. People may hear, if you watch some British film or TV series or, I don't know, listen to a podcast maybe in English, you'll hear British people talking about a cuppa. Ooh, I'm going to have a... Would you like a cuppa? Or I feel like a cuppa. So cuppa is C-U-P-P-A, cuppa, one word. And what it is an abbreviation of a cup of tea. Well, a cup of something. So instead of saying a cup of, you say a cuppa, a cuppa. So in Britain, lots of people will offer you, and you could be very confused as a non-English native speaker. They say, would you like a cuppa? You go, a cuppa? What's that? Say, a cup of tea. Never a cup of coffee. People would never say a cup of coffee, would they?
No.
It's always, so it could be a cup of coffee, but it isn't, because it's England true. And people are obsessed with tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, to offer somebody a cuppa, I just feel like a nice cuppa. A cup of what? A cup of soup? No, tea. Always tea.
Always tea. That's right.
Before we end, I can't remember, but just in case, that we were going to say the Spanish translations of supply when it doesn't mean oferta, which I don't think we mentioned.
Okay. Yeah.
So just get those in now at the end. So it's suministrar. That's one translation. And el suministro is often used in Spanish for light. With de luz or gas.
Yeah.
So, you know, the supply of gas, electricity, like utilities, for example. And then another word is abastecer. Abastecer. Which I think is used more for maybe food and other types of things. Now, in English, both those words you can translate as supply, whether it's electricity supply or supply of pens and paper or English language services, whatever it may be. It's all supply, no?
Yeah.
You can use provider, often might say, who is your electricity provider or your gas provider?
Yeah, or service provider, like we talked about before.
Or service provider, because it's a service, I suppose, why.
Yeah.
So just thought I'd just get that in there at the end before we wrap up.
That's right. Right, so I'm off to have a cuppa. I'll see you next week, Alistair.
I'm off to have a cup of coffee, which isn't a cuppa.
All right, great to have you with me. And I'll see you very soon. All right, see you next week. Yep. All right.
Pleasure as always.
All right. Cheers. See you then. Bye-bye.